Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I am very excited for you to listen to this episode because I speak with Inner Circle member Megan, and I don't want to give away too much yet, but we'll just leave it at this. If you struggle with stress eating, if you struggle with emotional eating, if you struggle with yo-yo dieting, if you struggle with confidence or belief in your ability to succeed, please listen to this episode. It's an amazing story. Megan, thank you so much for coming on and speaking with me. I hope everyone enjoys the episode. If you do, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. They've been helping a lot. I really appreciate all of the written responses. So thank you so much to everyone who's done that. With that said, let's get into the episode. Megan.
Jordan.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am delightful. Thank you for getting on the phone. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for offering.
Of course. What are you up to? How was your day?
Oh, it was better than the last couple weeks have been.
I hope everything's been all right.
Yeah, I think I told you like a little bit about that work had gotten kind of nutty and they were talking about laying people off and stuff.
Yeah.
So now I'm kind of on the back end of that where it's been like, oh, you're not getting laid off, but can you still do the same amount of work as you guys did before?
Got it. Okay. So it's definitely not worst case scenario. That's for sure.
Exactly. So, finding a new normal for sure.
Okay. Well, listen, what I would love to have happen is, because I don't want to put any words in your mouth, and I just from the first email that you sent, it was really incredible. I'd just love to hear more about your story. Like, just tell me more about yourself and what got you involved in fitness and what's some of the struggles that's been going on, some of the great things that have happened, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah, cool. So, I mean, I'm definitely not somebody that struggled with weight my whole life. I was actually pretty healthy up in through my high school years and stuff like that. I actually did like junior ROTC and I thought I was going to join the service.
Oh, wow.
Like all that kind of thing. And I didn't end up following that route for a lot of reasons, but ultimately, like, I graduated and I moved out of my parents' house and got my first, you know, grown-up job, and pretty much took a turn for the worst for weight from there. I grew up in a larger family, I think, compared to like the average person. Like, I'm the oldest of four kids. And, you know, so my mom was always like budget conscious. And one of the things that she always did when I was a kid was she was really into being like super fair. And, you know, so if we had like a treat in the house, it was always, okay, well, if there's this many of this, it divides up this way among the four of you plus me and dad. So this is how many everybody gets.
Got it. Okay.
And if you got
sounds like she's trying to avoid arguments at all costs.
Oh yeah, I mean, totally. Who can blame her, right?
Like, of course, exactly.
I'm sure you're way. Exactly. So the thing that would always happen when I was a kid was like inevitably something's not going to divide by like six, you know, evenly all the time. So she would do this whole deal where, like, you know, maybe the last leftover remnant of something sometimes went to somebody who did like an extra chore, or sometimes went to somebody who like got a good grade or something like that. And I can remember even then, like when I was healthier, of a healthier weight and all that stuff, like stealing away with that remnant of something sometimes and eating it. So
like
I think,
before anyone else could get it.
Yeah. So I think that like a lot of the what I can kind of recognize now is like disordered eating in my adulthood might have like started there with like the absconding away with the whatever and like having more than my fair share of it.
Yeah.
So when I was, you know, 18 out on my own for the first time, I almost did like the freshman 15 thing that people do in college, even though I was just doing it like out on my own, like working as an adult. Like I got out and was buying my own groceries and could buy whatever I wanted. And there was nobody to tell me like, you can't have more than this of this box. And then also like I was realizing that going from having learned with my mom how to cook for six people was a lot different than cooking for one person.
Yeah.
So I ended up gaining a fairly significant amount of weight pretty quickly, but I don't think that it really got like out of control for me until maybe like the last 5 or 10 years. Like I was probably 70 or so pounds lighter when I married my husband 12 years ago than I am today. And a lot of it's just been, you know, silly stuff that lots of people struggle with, like stress eating. I've had a hard day, so let's go out to dinner. You know, we basically like a lot of the stuff that you talk about a lot, like justifying uncontrolled eating with emotions or with stress. So actually right now, one of your Instagram question answering sessions is the background on my phone right now.
No way. Which one?
It's somebody asking you like what to do about eating when you're stressed, and you just wrote in huge letters, "Stop using stress as a justification for uncontrolled eating."
Yeah.
So wow, I'm super
happy to hear that. You know, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no, you're fine.
That response got a lot of people responding, and some people loved it and they were like, yes, thank you. And then there were other people who got really mad about it. And I think the people who got really mad about it, I think they misunderstood what I was saying. And I love that you use it as a form of motivation and as a reminder. Like, could you talk about that?
Well, so like if you were to like talk to my husband right now, he would probably tell you like a lot of really funny stories about like him trying to help me get back on track and me getting like offended anytime that he like tried to help me point out like, hey, you're eating and you don't need to be eating, like you're just eating out of emotion or you're binging, you know, stop it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, absolutely. It's super tough with anybody, but with family for sure.
There was definitely like a point in time that I think just now kind of being able to be mature enough to get out of, where, you know, if he pointed it out to me, I would be like, stop, I don't want to talk about it. Like, leave me alone. Just let me enjoy my whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people can relate to that. I mean, I've, you know, family members who struggled the same way and have reacted the same way, friends, clients, like absolutely.
Yeah. And I think I've really seen it as I've been kind of going through this sort of recognition in the last maybe year of, I know that I need to change something, but I'm pouting and I don't want to do it.
Like, yeah, I get it. You're articulating this very well. I get it.
So my husband and I are, I'm 32 and he's 35. So we're well at the point where we're stable enough to have kids. And we've been talking about it for the last several years. And just kind of like trying to do what we thought was the responsible thing and like wait for all our ducks to be in a row. And in the last year or so, we've kind of said like, well, the ducks are in a row. Or as in a row as it's possible for ducks to get. And, you know, so I started really looking at like, I don't want to be a larger pregnant woman and have to deal with like a doctor telling me that I'm high risk or things like that. So I started looking back in about May into like, okay, well, how much do I really weigh at this point? And I weighed at the time, I had it written down that it was May 26th, and I weighed 286.4 pounds. And that's the most that I've ever weighed in my entire life.
And was this, were you weighing yourself specifically, like, for the doctor, for, like, in order to figure out, like, for pregnancy stuff, or were you weighing yourself anyway?
More, like, I was weighing myself anyway sporadically. Like, this is not my first rodeo, like, trying to get myself together.
got it, okay.
So, I have, you know, weight over all these different times. And, you know, sometimes I would get really motivated and get started and then just kind of like fall off, as people often do. And kind of just, you know, the same thing that you talk to lots of people about. I wasn't seeing results fast enough. So I got frustrated. So I just said, oh, well, screw it. And just, you know, dropped it entirely, kind of a thing. Or, you know, something happens at work that derails things for a while and I can't get to the gym for a week or so. So I just say, oh, you know, well, I fucked up. And that was one of the things that when I started following you had really resonated with me, that you were like, you can't fuck it up. You just have to restart. So I had been watching all sorts of things for a while. And when I weighed myself at the end of May, and that was the most I had ever weighed, I treated myself as like a late birthday present to a 21-day program at this like really elite gym like near our house. And it was fun and interesting, and they really challenged me, and they did these like small group sessions where a trainer would kind of like tell you, okay, you know, you go through this circuit and then come back to me when you're done and I'll give you another, and you'd go and you go and you go. And I ended up in that whole 21-day thing only losing, I think, like a pound, because I was working out, but I still wasn't really keeping an eye on my nutrition. And at the time they, you know, did what programs like that do and offered me like a membership at the end, and the price was like astronomical. It was something where like to stay doing the stuff that they had me doing with them was going to be like $175 a month or something like that. And I was just like, oh, no, thank you. So I kind of just like meandered along by myself for a while. And I was following you like really intently at this time, because I was just like, I've been following this guy on my Instagram for like a year or so. But now I'm really listening to what he's saying.
You'd be surprised how common that is.
So I got to about like the end of September, and at the time I weighed like 281.7. So I had lost, you know, a few pounds, but not, I think, as much as I could have if I was going like full force. And that was when I joined the IC. I had like kind of seen you talk about the Inner Circle lots of times, and I had even gone so far as to like start signing up for it and then be like, no, I don't want to spend the money. I don't want to do that. And I finally said, you know, well, it's not unreasonable to spend this much, to invest this much in myself, really.
I love that. I love that perspective. It's really not as much spending as it is investing. I think it's a really good mindset to have.
Right. So I did that, and I started your whole thing with the X's and the O's on the calendar.
Which, by the way, is probably one of the most favorite things I've ever done, which it's so funny. Like, it sounds so ridiculously simple. Like, it's when you just say what you just said, like, oh, I started doing the X's and O's on a calendar, it sounds like we're talking like about a preschool exercise.
Right.
Like, yeah, we got all of the kids together and we had them do X's and O's on the calendar. And the parents are like, oh, good, cool, they're learning X's. But this, it's crazy how effective tracking your consistency. It's unbelievable. And it's just, it's so, and I'm so glad that you've been doing it. It's been helpful to you.
It's insane. Like you said, it's such a little simple thing, but I think it makes you, you know, kind of have to be more honest with yourself. Like, I was listening to the podcast that you did with Susan, you know, the other week, where you guys were just talking about honesty and being honest with yourself and having to kind of like own up to
yeah
everything.
That was one of my favorite podcasts with her. I really loved that one.
I loved it. And I think that's really what the calendar exercise comes down to, is it's forcing you to say, like, look at what you're doing.
Seriously, it's exactly right.
So I think has always been the root cause of, like, any struggle that I've had with weight, is I'm really good at hiding from myself.
Like, you're good at hiding the lack of consistency.
Oh yeah, like, I'm excellent at justifying not taking care of myself. I basically am, like, the closest description to what my job is that I'm a project manager. So I spend all this time making sure that everyone else is on track and everyone else is doing what they're supposed to be doing, and then I don't put any of that same, like, concentration, I guess, like, back into myself. So what I've loved about, like, being able to put it in front of myself is to say, oh, okay, well, you know, treat this just like anything else. This is just like a, you know, assignment at work that you're assigning out to this guy to make sure it gets done by such and such a date.
Yes.
You know,
100%. Yep.
And in all the stuff that's been going on at work, I think the thing I've struggled with the most is not really having control over everything. And I've gotten to the point, like, it would be hilarious if you could be inside my head, because I've gotten to the point where my conscience, if you will, sounds like you.
So there's a lot of F-bombs in there.
I have a little Jordan voice in the back of my head going, quit fucking around. Like,
oh my God, I love that. That would make a really cool, like, application. Just, like, have a bunch of different sound bites from me. Like, what the fuck? Put it down. I like that a lot.
So I really kind of, like, I did super well my first month with the Unicorn Strong program. And I went from 281.7 down to, like, 276 in that first month.
That's fucking amazing. Holy shit. And I know you wrote me that in an email, but it's still fucking incredible. Seriously, well, it's fucking incredible. Like, do you realize? I know you have to understand that you said in the email, like, you'd been trying for so long to break that 280 barrier. Like, that's incredible. Right. That's and then in a month, you did it. Like, what happened?
I mean, most of it was just doing the stuff to put it in front of myself. Like, honestly, the biggest thing that I probably spent time with was making sure that every night that before I, like, kind of went to bed, I had my little tiny calendar that I was putting my X's and O's on.
I love that. It's amazing how effective it is.
And, you know, to be totally honest with you, like, I really was not as good as I could have been. Like, throughout that whole first month, I probably was only consistently on target, like, because I was being totally black and white about that. If I was even one calorie over, that was an O day.
I love that. I love that.
So all of that in perspective, I was probably only averaging, like, 3 to 4 on target days a week, as opposed to I was really, you know, trying to go for, like, 80% consistency, and I definitely didn't make that.
Can I just say this right here, what you're saying right now is probably one of the most powerful things that you could not only say, but also to realize and internalize, because, as you know, most people, when they feel like they screwed up, they quit altogether. But what you're literally saying right now is that you only had about 3 to 4 days a week in which you were able to say, yes, you were 100% on point, but you didn't let the other days in which you weren't 100% on point cause you to think you screwed up, and you still made unbelievable progress even when you weren't as consistent as you wanted to be. That's some of the most powerful knowledge to have in your bank, because now you know that you didn't screw up. And that you can make all that amazing progress even when you're not being perfect. Like, because number one, what is perfect? But number two, because you don't need to be perfect in order to make progress. And sometimes being perfect will actually hinder your progress, because that perfection will then lead to being overly rigid and overly strict and overly restrictive. And then from there, like the fact that you are, the fact that I literally just got chills that you were not anywhere near as consistent as you wanted to be, but you still made tremendous progress. This is so outrageously, incredibly important to know. I'm so happy that you, that you've been through this and that you understand it.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, like, honestly, like, I credit, you know, you kind of, you know, being there for me to learn from for a lot of that. I definitely have never prior to this, I think, really internalized the whole, you can't fuck this up. More than I have recently. Like, honestly, okay, so October, right? Like, I did good. I, you know, wasn't as consistent as I could have been, but I made progress. So November rolls around and I'm thinking, like, okay, you know, I should be moving on to month two of the strength program. But, you know, in this first month, I've really just gotten in the last week to the point where I can do some of the stuff on the list. Like, when I started, I couldn't do the chin-up clusters at all, even assisted. And I had gotten to the point in the last week where I was so excited because I was doing assisted chin-ups, at least, on the machine. And I was like, well, you know, I really don't want to move on to the month two schedule yet, you know, because I know everything is advancing a little bit and getting a little bit harder, and I feel like I've just gotten there. So let me just do like a month one reboot. So like my calendar for November actually says month 1.2.
I love that. That's amazing. That's incredible. So there's so much about what you did that just makes me so happy and so impressed, because most people, and this is really important to understand, most people would look at that as a failure and would either progress too quickly and then it might be too difficult for them, then they would quit, or they would say, it's too difficult, I'm just going to stop altogether. You took the route that most people would not take, which is doing what you knew, knew that was right, even though it might have been a little bit of a harder choice, but you still did it. And you stuck with the program that you knew and you were confident you could accomplish and that you knew was right for you in the moment. Like, that is tremendously impressive and very, very self-aware.
And I'm getting to the point where, like, I think I'm just ready to be self-aware, if that makes any sense. I feel like I spent a lot of time getting in my own way. Almost like, you know, when somebody's trying to quit smoking, like, I've heard people say before, oh, you know, they have to want it. Like, they have to be ready for it. It doesn't matter, like, how much their family or, you know, their kids or anybody wants them to do it. They have to want it for themselves.
That's right.
And I think that a lifestyle change like nutrition and weight loss is really the same kind of thing. Like, I had to not want it for the wrong reasons, if that makes any sense. Like, I think a lot of my motivation previously was always like, oh, well, you know, I want to fit into smaller clothes and I want to look better and I want to feel, you know, hotter and sexier and prettier. And that's really not that motivating for very long compared to, you know, pizza.
Well, so actually this brings up a really important discussion, because was the main thing that really led you to being more consistent was wanting to lose weight in order so that you weren't at a high risk for pregnancy?
I think that right now that's a major motivating factor, but I think I'm also thinking a little longer term than maybe I was previously, because, okay, say that I lose a whole, you know, crap ton of weight and I have like the most bomb ass pregnancy ever. And then I get fat again, you know, and
yeah,
gain it all back after yes. I have this kid. You know, it doesn't help that kid for me to, you know, become unhealthy again. And then I want to be able to not put some of the issues that I have with food in front of a kid. You know, so I want to be able to know that as that hypothetical child is growing up and watching me in the kitchen and going about my day to day, that they're not like internalizing my own issues. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I think you're articulating it very well. And I'd just like to ask questions, because I think this is very interesting about like what is the reason why often people will make a change. And if we look in the research, like we can see statistically time and again that self-efficacy, someone's belief in their ability to succeed, is the single most important determining factor in whether or not someone succeeds, not only with fitness, but in with alcohol cessation, with smoking cessation, with business success, with if you believe in your ability to succeed, you are far more likely to. And this stems from a very basic understanding that the more you believe you can succeed, the more likely you are to spend the time and the effort and the money in order to make it happen. If you don't believe you can succeed, then you're not going to do it. It's not worth it. And that's just, it's a very common and very, very understandable concept. I think one of the reasons, and I would be very interested to hear if this resonates with you or not. I think one of the reasons that a lot of times looking good naked, for example, isn't always as strong of a reason for people to make a change is because a lot of people don't actually believe that they can do it. Whereas having a child and raising a child in a healthy food environment, I think that is something that innately people not only think they can do, but it's something they very deeply want to do. Not everybody, but many people, as part of our biology. It's like we want to bring children into the world and raise them well and keep them healthy, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally. And if you know in your heart that you want to bring a child into this world, then and you know, like physiologically, you can do that, and you know it's part of your plan, then I think all of a sudden your belief in your ability to do it will increase, because now it's almost seen as no longer a choice, but a must. Like I must do this for my child, for not only the pregnancy, but also for my child's health long term, for our family's health long term. And I think that's something in which, when you know you want to have a child, like, and you know, like you're able to have a child, then all of a sudden, like, yes, like I can do this, not because it's an option, but because it's an absolute must for the health and well-being of my family, and I'm not willing to sacrifice that. And I don't know if that resonates with you at all, but I've seen that, and I would love to know your thoughts on it.
No, I totally agree with you. I think you're dead on about the idea of, you know, if this is something that you've internalized as like a must, you know, I don't want to look back when I'm 90 and say, oh, we should have had kids.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. I think makes the weight, I suppose, of like your decisions on a day-to-day basis a lot heavier. You know, you kind of start realizing that as much as you might not think about it, every decision that you're making from one day to the next is what's adding up to the bottom line that you look back on when you're 90.
100%. Absolutely. So I'm sorry to go so far off track, but keep going. So in the first month you did very well, and then you started version 1.2.
So I started 1.2, and that was about the time that I found out from a kind of a management perspective that all these potential layoffs were coming. And I had a super hard time with that because the team that I worked with was relatively small. I was super close to some of the people that I knew were definitely on the chopping block at the time. I thought I was on the chopping block. And so I face planted in the month of November. Like, I got maybe 6 consistent days out of the whole month. The first couple weeks of the month, I managed to like get all my workouts in, and then, mid-month, like the week that I knew that everybody was going to find out what was happening, I actually, got sick at the beginning of the week and only made it in the gym like one day. And then the following week, I really just like struggled really hard to get back on track and get back in the gym. I remember distinctly there being one day where I went to the gym and I was doing box squats and every like joint in my body was screaming. And I was like, I think I have to stop. And I was just like, I think it's better for me to go home and put myself to bed than it is for me to try to push through this workout and possibly injure myself. And then I probably let myself feel sorry for myself for a good couple of weeks. And I've really only in like the last week started, really hardcore tracking my food again, and making sure that I'm getting in the gym again. So in that time, in the beginning of November when I was doing good, I got from 276 down to like 272. I had like November 11th that I was 272.3, and I was like so excited because I was super close to 270 because the weight app that I use has everything divided out for me in 5 pound increments right now. So every time that you drop below a 5 pound mark, it like says that you've met another milestone kind of a thing. And I was so excited that I was so close to that next milestone. And then I just totally, you know, I don't like the phrase fell off the wagon because it doesn't really go with the whole you can't fuck this up. But like I just totally, you know, went off track for those last couple weeks. And I'm to the point now where like having gotten back on track, I'm like 274 and a half as of this morning. So I really didn't I feel like for all the screwing around that I did in the last like 4 to 5 weeks that I should weigh more than I do. And I almost feel like in a way that was kind of a good experience for me to go through because it really underlines like some of the stuff that I've seen you say before about that nobody got fat from one day.
That's exactly right.
So in all that screwing around way more than one day, you know, I really landed out only maybe 2-ish pounds above the lowest that I've been.
You know what I think one of my favorite parts, and there are many things I love about this, but one of my favorite things that I love about this scenario is, and you hear Susan and I talk about this a lot, but about how in any situation you have the choice between optimism and pessimism. And for many people would go through this situation like, oh, I was on track. I had lost so much weight. I'd reached my goal. I was almost so close to a new one. And then I screwed it all up. I fucked it all up. I went off track and I spent the last 4 or 5 weeks just completely doing whatever I wanted. You know, work was awful. Gym was awful. Nutrition was awful. And I don't know what to do. And I've been back on track for a week and I'm still not back to where I was. And it's like, okay, cool. You could have that really obnoxious, pessimistic, awful, poisonous mindset, or what you've just said, which is, you know, I had that first phase, which did really, really well. And I started the second phase and it was doing great. I was almost at a milestone. Unfortunately, there were some things that happened that I couldn't control that were very negative, and I sort of fell off track for a little bit. But now I'm back on for about a week and I'm right where I was just before I quote unquote fell off. And I look at that as a win because I know that no one ever got fat from one bad day and no one ever got skinny from one good day. And for all of the fucking around that I did, for me to still be right here is incredible. And it goes to show that it really is all about consistency. And what you're doing is you're choosing to find the optimistic perspective here. And I'm telling you right now, Megan, this optimistic perspective that you have here and that you can make a habit as part and as a habit that you develop over time in every aspect of your life. This is why I swear on my life, this is why I know you're going to succeed, because you just chose of your own accord to find that optimistic perspective. And most people would not. And I say that not because I don't believe in most people. It's just because I've spoken with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. And I know just on a large scale basis what people habitually go to. And statistically, the people who go more towards that optimistic side are the ones who will succeed because they always find another reason to keep going and to keep trying, whereas pessimism will often lead you to not try at all. And the cool part is you can train yourself to go for that optimistic side. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You can get better at looking for the optimistic view. But the way you just framed that on your own is nothing short of tremendous, and it gives me every ounce of belief in you and my knowledge that you will succeed and you will achieve your goals as long as you continue with that optimistic perspective every time you face an obstacle.
It's not easy, I'll say that. Like
that is correct.
I have not by any stretch of the imagination always been an optimist, I think. I've been like super pessimistic at work lately with like all the changes that are going on. And I'm really kind of having to in the last like week or so say like, okay, I don't want to live here.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to live in this mind frame. And my husband really kind of helped me sort of kickstart back into that too, because maybe like a week or so ago we were talking, and he more or less like looked me dead in the face and said, do you really want kids or not?
I love that. I love that.
It was very like a tough love honesty sort of a thing where he was like, if you really want them, then get your shit together.
Yeah. And I think it takes a lot of self-awareness to know that that's being said from a place of love, not a place of hate or shame. That it's said with, hey, like, if we really want to do this together, like, we got to do this. And I think it's easier for people to take offense to it and to say, how dare you, and da-da. But it's like, hold on, no. This isn't meant to be offensive. This is meant to be, I love you, and I'm here with you, and I want to do everything I can to help you, but I can't help you if you don't help yourself first.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, like, I think, you know, in the time that we've been married, like in the last, you know, it's still weird to me to say that I've been married to someone for 12 years. But like in the time that we've been married, there was a point where I would have said like, oh, he's so mean. Like he doesn't love me. And you kind of like let yourself take offense to it in a way that it's really not meant. And I've really been, I think, bettering my, I'm sure you didn't think of yourself as like a marriage counselor, but I think some of your attitude about, you know, stop being stupid and thinking you're a special butterfly and being a baby kind of tough love has like helped me kind of recognize that he's really doing the same thing that you are, you know, just on a more personal level. He's just kind of saying like, quit it. <You know? laughs> And it's funny that I could take it from you as someone I don't know, but I had, you know, a much harder time taking it from my husband, who's supposed to, you know, love me and support me unconditionally, and kind of take that as like, this is love and support. This is just not the
just
soft,
not what you want to hear.
Sweet, pretty kind.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I actually wrote about it, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where I was like, be kind to everyone, but don't pander to anyone. And I think it's plays like that in friendships, it plays like that with business partners, plays like that with husbands and wives and your children. And I think sometimes when we're feeling self-conscious and insecure, we want to be, for lack of a better word, coddled. Like we want like encouraged and coddled and told we're great. But and I think there's a time and a place for that. And I also think there's a way to go about it in a way that's not just reinforcing bad habits. But I think the most difficult part is finding the balance between being encouraging and loving and supporting while also helping the individual live up to their own highest expectations and to their true potential. And I think that that line of trying to push people to reach their potential and push people to be better and to do what they actually want to do is it's a very thin line, and it's a very difficult line. And not to mention it's more difficult when it's your family always, because like when it's a close family member, it's always like, all right, well, fuck off, like there's yeah. always that. But like, and I think you said something earlier that was really very intuitive and very it was a good observation where you said you finally got to a point where you are ready to be self-aware. And when I said that, like a light bulb went off. I was like, what a wonderful way to put it, because sometimes we're just not at a point in which we are ready to be aware enough in order to actually make the change that we know we want to make, but we're not ready yet. And I think the way that you're now interpreting the either content for me or conversation with your husband, the way that you're now choosing to interpret them in a way that is, hey, this is to help me, this is because they love me, that is a very strong indicator of someone being ready to be self-aware. And I think that that's a tremendous way to put it. I just love your perspective and how you're so able to be honest and objective from all aspects here. It's really a remarkable thing to hear.
It's, you know, it's what's funny about it to me is like you've said, you know, in the time that we've been kind of corresponding back and forth, so many just like super nice things about like, wow, that's such a great way to put it. And, you know, you're making such great progress and all this stuff. And it's so funny because like in my head, I'm still like, you have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, number one, we all know we could be our own harshest critic, right? We can all be. But just because you have a lot of work to do doesn't mean that you're not doing things very well already. I think it's a really important thing for people to understand. And especially for me as a coach, when I know, like as a scientific fact, people are radically more likely to succeed when they believe in their ability to succeed, then I know it is my job, bar none, to show you why I know you can succeed. And a lot of that will come from showing you things that maybe you didn't even recognize as progress, or you might not even have been aware that this was a really good sign. And so one of the things that I take a massive responsibility to communicate, and that I think that I value almost above all else as a coach, is the ability and the both the ability and the purpose to go out of my way to show you when you're doing something that lets me know you will be successful. Because the more that you know that, and the more that you see all the things that you're doing very well, number one, the more you'll believe in yourself. And number two is the more you'll be able to recognize those things on your own. And that is incredibly important for long-term success.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, that's been one of, in even though we haven't corresponded a ton, just I think that's been, you know, almost more one of the most helpful things that I've gotten out of corresponding with you, just like individually, is that pointing out of like, wow, that's really great, and you know, here's where you're doing good things that are statistically, you know, more of a good sign that you're on the right track. It sounds funny to say that you quoting statistics at me like is super great, but
keeping in mind I failed math all through high school and college. I'm not a math guy either.
I think I just appreciate data in a way, yes, that a lot of people don't.
Yes, I get it.
So like one of the things that I had loved, I think around the time that I started following you, you were doing like a scale challenge where you were weighing every day.
Yes.
And you just kept, you know, talking about like, it's just data, it's just data. And that was like super one of my favorite things at the time. Because I had never seen another person say, like, the number doesn't really matter. It's just data. Like, but that was a lot of how I had felt about the scale in the past. And I think that in a way I was using that against myself previously, is that I have a really interesting mindset for someone who wants to lose weight and who is overweight. In that, like, a lot of, I feel like a lot of the time when you talk to somebody that's lost, like, 100 pounds, they talk about having this, like, sort of body dysmorphia where they're like, oh, I'm still this overweight person in my mind. And I almost have the opposite, which is that my self-image is smaller than I am now. Like, I remember myself and I picture myself out in the world at a healthier weight that I used to be at. And so it's almost like surprising to me when I see pictures of myself sometimes, because I'm like, who the hell is that? And I think that was almost like an obstacle to being able to be ready to be self-aware and to be ready to make changes for a while.
Without question. Absolutely. It is.
So it's been super cool to, like, have you sort of point out to me places where I am becoming more self-aware and where I am doing, better choices in terms of optimism and things like that. Just because for me, that's almost been more of a progress marker than numbers on a scale.
I couldn't be happier to hear that. And I think you must have seen me or heard me say this. One of my favorite quotes is, you know, as a teacher, my job isn't to tell you what to see. It's to show you where to look. And I think that a lot of times people just aren't sure where to look. Like, they just don't know what direction to look in. And oftentimes, even if they're looking in the right direction, they have trouble really seeing. They have trouble, like, actually seeing what's going on. And so I don't want to say, like, this is what you have to be seeing or this is what you have to do. But I do want to say, like, look in this direction and just, this is where I want you to focus. And over time, that focus will get more and more clear and more and more clear and more and more clear. And within there, you're able to spot individual things that you're doing well, that show you when you're making progress, that show you when things that you either want to avoid or things you want to chase. I think that you've articulated all this so well, and that you're focusing on the right things. You're taking things from an optimistic perspective. You're taking things very positively. You're not being outrageously hard on yourself. And I'm sure, by the way, I'm sure that there are times in which you're hard on yourself, and I'm sure there are times in which you get pessimistic. What I'm really trying to reinforce here is that even when those times come, you don't allow them to get you off track, or you don't allow them to get you off track for as long as you would in the past. And all of this are all signs of progress.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Like, I can see that in myself more, I think. Like, it was really excellent timing that right before Halloween you started talking about bright lines with the holidays and stuff. And so one of the things that I was, like, the most proud of in late October, when I was kind of, like, finishing my first month and getting into my month 1.2, was that we had, like, a party at work for Halloween, and everybody made all this food. And I was really kind of, like, starting to have anxiety about how do I track through that and how do I have a good day but still have fun. And right around that time, like, you came out with the whole bright line lecture for the holidays about, like, just do the one plate of the good, you know, savory stuff, and do one plate of dessert, and make that decision before you go in, and just call that the rule for the day. And I had found that so helpful, and really been able to still kind of end a day that I think previously I would have said, well, you didn't meet your nutritional goals for the day, so this was a failure. I was able to say, well, you did follow this bright line thing that Jordan talked about, and it worked really well, so this is still a success. And I think some of those things that I've gotten to see you talk about, as far as, like, ways to stay on track without necessarily being married to calorie counting have been like super helpful for me in like kind of reframing things in the last several months.
That makes me so unbelievably happy, especially because I think a lot of people look at me as like, well, he's the calorie counting guy. And I'm really not. I'm really not. I love that you know that, because it's not that I'm a calorie counting guy. It's more that I'm, what do we have to do in order to lose fat? We have to be in a calorie deficit. But just because we have to be in a calorie deficit doesn't mean we need to count calories. And for me, I'm all about finding ways that work for different people. For some people, counting calories is going to be amazing. For other people, not counting calories is going to be more effective. For some people, counting calories for a brief period of time will help. And then after that, transitioning into other ways. And I think what you've identified, and I really, Megan, I can't stress enough how impressed I am with you, is how not only articulate you are, but how objective and how great of a critical thinker you are in order to understand all of these concepts and to see that maybe I say something that doesn't go well with you. Maybe I say, hey, if you have to, you track your calories and protein, but you know what, that really doesn't work for me. Like, I'm not going to stick to it. So then trying to find ways like the bright lines, the other things that I recommend, things that help you to stay on track, even if you're not counting your calories. It's just, you are the quintessence of what it means to be a critical thinker, and you impressed the hell out of me. And I'm just so excited to see your continued progress. And I feel very blessed that you've been able to come on the phone and speak with me. And I just want to, before we get off, I want to know, do you have any questions for me? Is there anything that I can help you with?
Yeah, I did have two kind of random questions for you that had come up for me recently with workouts. So I've reached this kind of a point where, you know, now at this point, I'm thinking of December as like month 1.3, where I have some exercises that, and some lifts that I'm almost like at a between place with weights, where I can be at one weight and have like really fantastic form, but I feel like the weight is too easy. But whatever my next available weight is to move up to is just enough too hard that like my form gets kind of sketched. And I don't really know like what is the better side of the fence to fall on. Like, is it better for me to stick with a lower weight that I know is too easy when my form is perfect? Or should I be, you know, trying to move to the higher weight even when my form gets a little shaky? Like work through it.
Yeah, it's a really good question. So the way that I explain this is this. Let's say we're going to use the squat as an example, okay? Let's say for the squat, the rep range is 3 sets of 6 to 8 reps. Cool? Mm-hmm. And so what I recommend is on week one, let's say you can take a weight. And on week one, like, you can only get that weight for 6 reps. Cool. Mm-hmm. So you got it for 6 reps. So now your goal with that weight is to get it to 8 reps with perfect form. So maybe week one, you did it for 3 sets of 6. Week 2, 3 sets of 6. Week 3, 3 sets of 7. Week 4, 3 sets of 8. Cool. Now, mm-hmm. once you hit 3 sets of 8, with perfect form with that weight, then you increase the weight by 5 to 10 pounds and you drop back down to 3 sets of 6. Okay. And so mm-hmm. Keeping in mind, maybe there's a rep that's like not perfect technique. It's okay. That's not going to be the end all be all of your lifting career. Like, there is a little bit of wiggle room, but that's one of the reasons why I like the ranges. So like, even if, let's say, in the inner circle workout, I write 3 sets of 10, what you mm-hmm. can do is you can say like, okay, you wrote 3 sets of 10, but we'll call that like a 10 to 12 rep range.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Or like, you wrote 3 sets of 8. Cool. So we'll call it a 3 sets of 8 to 10 rep range. So once you can do that weight for the higher end of the range, then you can go up 5 to 10 pounds and start over again at the lower end.
Okay. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Perfect. Perfect.
So the other question that I had for you is like, you know, we were playing with your text platform this morning, and I said, oh, I can't wait to tell you about how working out at 5 a.m. went.
Yes.
So, first of all, I need you to know I'm super proud of myself, because I'm the night owliest night owl you'll ever meet. So, the fact that I went to bed like a human at like 10 p.m. and got up at 5 this morning and was done with my workout by 6:40 this morning was insane.
It's amazing. But, I'm super proud of you, and I'm proud of you for saying that you're proud of you, but I'm very proud of you for doing that, because like you've heard me say 1,000 times, action is the foundation of motivation. And so for you to just will yourself to get up and do it, you're the living, breathing example, like a perfect example of what I mean by you did it once, and I guarantee now you know you can do it again.
Well, you know, the crazy part about it is, like, I can't remember if it was the Honesty podcast that you and Susan just did, or if it was one of your other podcasts, because now you've become the thing that I do on the way to and from work as I listen to a Jordan or a Susan podcast. but one of you guys said something, and I think that it was you, to the effect of, like, you have to, like, find a path forward and find something that you can make work for you in order to succeed. And when you're at the point where you really want to succeed, you'll find a way to make things work. And so that was what kind of made me say, like, well, let me go ahead and try morning workouts. I'm getting to the point where, especially this time of year, I just really don't want to do it when I come home from work.
Yeah, like, I feel you.
I'm so, especially with all the kind of the stress that's still going on in my company right now, like, I'm just mentally exhausted at the end of the day. So I just don't want to do it after work. So the remaining choice is, well, do it before then. And I really just kind of took that to heart with, in whatever capacity that I heard you say it, and said, well, okay, I guess we're going to try 5 a.m. workouts 3 times a week. And I really enjoyed it more than I thought I would. The gym was quiet. There weren't like all these obnoxious college guys in my squat rack.
I love that.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. I love hearing that, because so much of the reasons why people tell me they can't do morning workouts, oh, you know, I'm a night owl. I've spent my whole life doing this. It's really hard for me. Like, I guarantee it wasn't easy for you to get the fuck up that early in the morning and to go there for after a lifetime of not doing it. But what you just said, it's like when you get to a point in which you know, like, you are not doing the things that you want to do in order to achieve your goals, like, you're going to make a decision. Either you'll do it or you won't. No one's saying it's easy. No one's saying it's fun. I guarantee you didn't jump out of bed with like rainbows and sparkles and sunshine and be like, I'm excited to go to the gym right now. But you did it. And now you're one step closer to knowing that you can continue to do it on a regular basis. And again, it doesn't mean it'll be easy. There will be mornings in which, like, you don't want to get up. But just the fact that you willed yourself and grit your teeth and you did it that one time, which I'm so proud of, is enough for you to know that you can continue to do it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Like, that was, like, pretty much this conversation and getting up and working out in the morning were, like, my two highlights of the day.
Well, this conversation was 100% one of my highlights of the day, and I cannot tell you enough, Megan, truly, like, I hope you know this, I am very blessed to have had this conversation, to have you in my life. I'm incredibly impressed with what you're doing. I do not say that lightly. And I really hope you continue to keep me updated with how you're doing, what's going on. I'd love to get on a podcast with you again to speak with you in the future, just to catch up. But I'm really unbelievably impressed with you. And I hope you know that with all of my heart. I know without a shadow of a doubt you can succeed. And please, if I can help with anything, don't hesitate to let me know.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate it so much. Well, so my question for you with morning workouts was, is it important for me to get, like, protein or calories in my body at some specific set amount of time after a workout if it's fasted like that in the morning?
I would say it's a really good question. If you were a competitive bodybuilder or powerlifter or physique competitor or an athlete, I would say yes. And by that, I mean like more of a high level one where really little things start to matter and make more of a difference, then I would say yes. I would like you to get something in ideally as quickly as possible, ideally within the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that within the first hour after you're working out, like within the first hour and 90 minutes, you're probably getting something in. If it's the first hour or the first 3 hours, Megan, honestly, I don't give a fuck. Like, it doesn't matter, realistically. If you are a high-level competitor, when you're already relatively very low body fat, you have a lot of muscle mass, it's easier to lose muscle mass as you get leaner and leaner and leaner, then I would say yes. Like, it, just to cover our bases, it's a smart idea. But for the vast majority of people, for the 98% of the population who are just working out, trying to be healthier, lose weight, and feel better, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, I wouldn't say, hey, you should wait 10 hours to eat after you worked out. But the whole idea of this anabolic window that you're going to lose all your gains if you don't have protein within 27 seconds of working out, no, that's ridiculous. That's wrong. Like, I would just say, like, realistically, if you could do it within 3 hours, I'd say that's great. Because the reason I say that is not from a physiological perspective. It's more just from the habit-making perspective. Like, I just want to get you in the habit of having protein on a consistent basis and not, like, saving up your calories so you have a massive binge later. I would prefer it so that just on a consistent basis, you get some protein in, maybe get some fruits and vegetables in, and you're good to go.
Cool.
Cool? Easy peasy. Let's go. I love it. Megan, you're amazing. Seriously, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's been so great to actually, like, get to speak to you.
This has been amazing. I'm so glad you did this. Please give your husband my best. I would love to speak with him and both of you at one point. But please keep me updated with how everything is going. Do not hesitate to reach out. And I would love to hop on another call at some point in the future.
You got it.
All right. Have a wonderful day, okay?
Thanks. You too, Jordan.
Bye, Megan.
Bye.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Megan, thank you so much for coming on and speaking with me. I hope everyone enjoyed it. If you did, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. They've been helping a lot. I really, really appreciate it. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you next week.